And beginning with verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Well, so far in our series, and this is the third in our series, entitled The Rains Came, and the Floods Came, and the Winds Blew, Building a Stormproof House. We've seen the awareness Jesus encourages. We need to hear his word. The action he encourages, that is to do his word. The analogy Jesus draws, we're building a house. And now fourthly, the anchor Jesus describes. The anchor Jesus describes. Depending on what we choose to do with Jesus' words, we are selecting the foundation to which will be anchored the house of our life, of the person who hears Jesus' words and does them. In verse 24, Jesus says, he built his house upon the what? Upon the rock. That's right. And then there in verse 26, of the other person, the one who hears Jesus' words and does not do them, he's built his house upon the what? He's built it upon the sand. That's right. The choice we make about obedience will fasten us to one of these two foundations. And the place to which we are anchored is going to have a great deal to do with how affected you and I are going to be by the inevitable storms of life. One day I was fishing off Sheep Creek, the mouth of Sheep Creek there in Gastineau Channel near Juneau, Alaska. And the bottom right there is very flat and very sandy. It was a fairly windy day, so I put my anchor down because I picked just the right spot there. With the salmon coming in, there's a certain area there where you're really advantageously placed, and so I wanted to stay there. And I'm fishing away, but soon I noticed that I've drifted far from my original location. My anchor is down, but it's doing me no good at all. And looking over at the shoreline is just literally racing by as I'm careening down Gastineau Channel with the wind. Now, why is that? It's because that flat, sandy bottom there gives the anchor literally nothing to hold on to. So it's almost like not even having your anchor down. It's just skimming across the bottom merrily as the wind blows and just carries you right along. Now, a few weeks later, I'm fishing a little further south, that same area, Gastineau Channel, fishing a little further south on the other side of the channel. And when I put my anchor down, it holds me fast, man. I mean, it just absolutely holds me there. And even though there was a pretty stiff wind blowing, I'm going nowhere. So I'm staying there fishing for a while, several hours actually, and nothing happens, so I'm going to go home. Well, I could not retrieve the anchor. I mean, it was down there, and it was down there to stay. And when I mean stay, I mean stay. I tried everything I could think of, pulling it up. And it's fairly deep there, so the anchor's down probably 150 feet. And I'm pulling up and down on the anchor line, nothing happening. So I tie the anchor rope off to the cleat there on the boat, and I start up the motor, and I go north, try to pull it off. Won't give. I'm about to break the transom out of the back of the boat. So I go down to the south, pulling that way, nothing. East, west, every direction, and it would not budge. I had fastened into something there on the bottom, some rocky cleft or perhaps a piece of wreckage, who knows? and I could not dislodge it. I tried everything. And finally, if I was going to get home that evening, I literally had to part the anchor line and kiss goodbye to my anchor in order to be able to get home. Nothing could dislodge it. The foundation to which we are fastened makes a huge difference. When our lives most need something solid, something we can depend on, something that is not going to be moved, the truth of God's Word is not going to move, my friends. It will hold us fast. Fifthly, we find here the assault Jesus predicts. And that is in verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I want you to notice something here, something important, because this is where a lot of people get off track. Which of these two houses is attacked by the storm? Which of these two houses? They're both attacked, aren't they? And in fact, it seems by storms of equal intensity. Now, there's a lesson in that, if you think about it. As believers, I think we often have this notion, our lives are going to be less troubled. We are going to have fewer challenges to deal with because we're God's children, and God's going to make sure that nothing bad happens to us. Well, this is a delusion. I'm not saying there are no benefits to being a believer, because there most certainly are. But to think that because you're a child of God or you're exercising faith, you're not going to have trials is a delusion. And we've got false teachers out there that are teaching this today. That if you have faith, then God's going to keep the troubles away from your door. And if you have troubles, it's going to be because you didn't have enough what? You didn't have enough faith. That's right. Nothing could be more wrong. What did Jesus say? John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Okay, so in Christ we have peace. But in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. One of the most foolish things we can do is pretend that storms are not going to happen to us. And yet it's one of the most common mistakes of Christians. There's a word for this, or a phrase for this. It's called whistling past the graveyard. And you know what that term means. You walk past the graveyard, there are all the graves. And the only people in graveyards, of course, are people who were too dumb not to die, right? No. It's where we all end up. And so whistling past the graveyard is trying to pretend it's not going to happen to you when there's the evidence it's going to happen to you. Pretending often leads us to ignore the warnings God is trying to send to us. We've got a whole generation of people today who are doing that. They're like the proverbial ostrich with his head in the sand, pretending they're never going to die, not facing that reality, and therefore not going to have to deal with the question of eternity, with which we all must deal. They're doing it right now, despite the disasters that have struck our nation. Sadly, the only people raising the question are the leftists and environmental activists. Well, God is judging us because of who we voted for last fall. Or the earth is angry with us because of how we've been treating her. Where are the calls to repent of our national sins committed in the face of the God of our fathers? We're not hearing those. We're not hearing those at all. It is a dangerous course to take. The year was 1912. Same year, by the way, the Titanic disaster rocked the world. Another case of ignoring warnings. Hermann Scheinemann was captain of the sailing ship the Roos Simmons out of Chicago. Same family that founded the Simmons Mattress Company. The ship, which has since passed into legend, has been nicknamed the Christmas Tree Ship. How did it get that name? In November of 1912, Captain Scheinemann sailed up to Lake Superior for a load of Christmas trees, which he would then bring down and have sold there at Chicago docks. His crew filled the hold. When it was full, he had them pile the decks high with the festive trees. After loading, he noticed that the Coast Guard had posted gale warning flags, which meant that bad weather was approaching and ships should remain in port. Well, the predictions, as it turned out, were correct. A terrible storm was brewing, one of the worst recorded on the Great Lakes. But Scheinemann feared if he delayed, he would lose the advantage of being able to get to the docks early and sell his Christmas trees. So, despite the warnings, he sailed out. His vessel was sighted twice through the swirling mists of the savage storm by observers on the Wisconsin shore of Lake Michigan. Witnesses said the Simmons was flying distress flags, and it appeared as if all the sails had been torn away. The last sighting was off Kewaunee. Then the ship disappeared from view and was never seen again. At least not until 1971. Not long after the disaster, a bottle washed up on the Wisconsin shore. Inside was a cryptic note, hastily scrawled, that read, "Our sails are gone. We are being driven before the wind. All hope is lost." The note was signed H. Scheinemann. For decades, no one knew exactly where the ship had gone down. And then in 1971, its remains were found on the bottom of Lake Michigan, not far from where it had last been sighted. Diving friends of mine dived on that wreck a few years ago, and they brought me back this memento. And I'll see what it is. They said the decks were still piled high with the skeletal remains of hundreds and hundreds of Christmas trees. Silent reminders of a man who refused to heed the warning that a storm was coming into his life. Dear friend, it's never a question of if our faith is going to be tested. It's only a question of when. And if we do not prepare for it in advance, we may well fail the test when it comes. We cannot fritter away our time and expect to stand fast in the gales of life. Build now on the words of Jesus. There is no firmer foundation on which to build one's life. Got all kinds of competing voices out there today. But there's only one voice that really knows what it's talking about. We want to thank you, Father, for this time we could spend reflecting on your word this morning. Help us to take this lesson seriously into heart. For each of us must deal with the question of that on which to found and build our lives. May we choose wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.